Right now, we have half of the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack because, well, one half is on the road again. The other one is at home again. And, of course, a phrase, this is the show. You can find both Tim and Greg on the web at tqag.com, but also right here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
I think
Willie Nelson ought to write a song about me.
I was just going to say we should every time that Tim's away, we'll play on the road again, and we'll get somebody to make up a song. You're home again. I was just going to say that myself. Well, you know what? It's better to be busy than not be busy.
Yeah. Well, just because I'm home doesn't mean I'm not busy.
Yeah.
Well, it's been crazy. It's been crazy, but it's all good. Better to be busy than the alternative. So.
Well, that's absolutely right. And speaking about alternatives, this is a story that I know Tim would have a lot to say on it, and you're going to have a lot to say on it. Christie's, which is a well-known auction house, mm-hmm. They have withdrawn two lots from an upcoming antique sale. Why are they withdrawing them? Because the items may have been looted. Now, this it's upcoming on April 12th, an antiquity sale, and a researcher raised provenance concerns, and it includes works from that include an ancient Greek vase and a Roman cavalry helmet. You know, and you guys talk about this all the time, the research that has to go into things like this.
Well, the thing about doing the research, it's people think it's just to put a value on something, but it's much more than that. When you're doing the very first thing we check is the provenance of a piece, which goes hand in hand a lot of time, most of the time, with the value of a piece. And if there's any issue at all about the provenance, it should be reported or recognized, and that it'll do two things. It'll affect the value, or in this case, it will affect if it's being where or if it's going to be sold, and what the auction house, a good auction house, will do, and that is to pull the item, even if there's a question. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is either a fake or, like in this case, it looted. If they have the facts, they have a responsibility to pull the item, or at least pull it until they can prove otherwise.
Well, here's what I don't understand, though. Christie's is a respected, well-known organization. The dealers that these came from are known to have trafficked in illicit artifacts. Doesn't Christie's have its own people that should track that down?
Yes, they do. They do, and without knowing all of the facts, it should have been, in my estimation, it should have been discovered prior to that. If I see a person's name that I suspect or has come up in the past. We talked about this, if you remember, when the frauds, there were the books that we have talked about on the show about the painter who was doing all of these fake reproductions and then selling them. And then the galleries who bought them say they didn't know. But, you know, these people have a reputation. And if you are on top of your game, and you recognize a name, that should be a red flag at the very beginning. And this particular person is one of those people. And somebody I don't want to cast aspersions, but it seems like somebody at Christie's would have recognized this name and possibly done a little bit deeper digging before the piece was put up for auction. So it's going to be interesting to see what happened to it. But the one thing that has happened now, that this piece is forever poisoned.
Yeah. Well, here's the quote from Christie's quote now, and this is why I find this story unbelievable. Quote, "We devote considerable resources to investigating the provenance of the works we offer for sale. In the case of the upcoming sale of those lots, the research we conducted gave us no reason to believe that any of these lots were from an illicit source or that the sale would be contrary to applicable law. We continue to conduct research on these items." But they had to take somebody from outside their organization to point it out. That's what gets
yes.
me. You know, that's
absolutely.
That's what, yeah. And I'm not criticizing Christie over. I mean, anybody can make a mistake, but when you're an auction house like Christie's, this just shouldn't happen.
Yes, absolutely. I agree 100%. And I think it also is a point that should be made that sometimes, I'm not just saying Christie's, but in general, when somebody sees something that they find to be really extraordinary, I think it's human nature to want it to be right, because it's either so rare or it's so valuable that it can't, and it hasn't been seen, so it can't be there can't be anything wrong with it. And I think that's just human nature. But I do believe in this. I do believe that for a piece that is this valuable, I find it hard to believe that statement is not really just a way of saying, we did our due diligence, but in spite of that, this has happened. And somewhere along the line just decided not to go any further. And I think that's a mistake. I think that's a big, big mistake on their part. And, you know, it reflects badly on the auction house. And I'm not saying just Christie's, just in general.
Yeah.
Because now what's going to happen in the future when something like this comes up, it's always going to taint people's judgment about is this or is this not really authentic, and where did it come from?
You know, that's interesting you say that. Now we'll give the good news for Christie's next, and that is the largest white diamond ever is going to go to auction, potential $30 million value during their luxury week in May 2022. I see a picture of this diamond, and this pear-shaped diamond is wider than a human thumb. Now that is what I call it's a 228.31 carat diamond, nicknamed the Rock. It's going to be sold in Switzerland on May 11th. And like I said,
it is beautiful, though. Oh. It is truly an exquisite piece. The bigger question for me is, let me ask you this about it. How big do you think that the whole stone had to be before they cut a diamond that large out of it?
It had to be absolutely enormous. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, it had to be absolutely enormous.
It is. I don't know. I think it might probably be the biggest diamond that I mean, I've never seen a diamond quite that large. I've seen large diamonds, you know, we've seen them in the catalogs and stuff, but nothing quite like this. So $30 million there again, that's going to be a record, I'm sure. I just hope that the hype doesn't hurt it, because sometimes that's another thing. And we've seen this happen in the past and talked about it. And that is an auction. Well, someone puts a value on something, and that's what they promote it as. And even if they say it could bring or could fetch, the thing is, the expectations are so high that if it doesn't, let's say that it sells for $20 million, then, oh, it's not really worth that much. So I would love to see it sell for $30 million or more, but you know, I'm kind of, not that I'm the eternal pessimist, but I don't know. That's an awful big chunk of change to hang your hat on. So I don't know what it's going to do, but I have a feeling that this is going to, we're going to turn on the news one morning after the sale, and we're going to find out, because it's going to be, if it does sell for $30 million, or even if it doesn't, it's going to make the news that, oh, it didn't perform as well as it should have, or, oh, it sold for $50 million instead. So this is going to be a newsworthy auction, this one particular thing, because the hype on it is so big.
Well, I think that when you have something pegged at $30 million, even if it doesn't perform well, it performs well.
I know. It's so odd, you know, and we're talking about so much money that normal people like you and I, it's like, well, so it's, let's say that it sells for $20 million. I mean, that is a boatload of money. I just don't understand why they would be disappointed that it didn't sell for $30 million or more. But that's the nature of auction, and that's the nature of what we're dealing with now with these commodities. It's like they just keep going and going and going. And I think a lot of the pre-auction hype is also to help the publicity for the item, that this is the largest white diamond ever. So, I mean, the fact that it's just the largest white diamond ever would be, in a normal world, be enough to say that the largest diamond ever, white diamond ever, is going to be up for auction. And then you add, oh, but it could fetch $30 million. So I think there's going to be a lot of publicity about this particular item. So what's the next one going to be? How big is the next one going to be? That's the next thing. Because once this happens, you're looking for the next fix. And we'll see what it is. Is it a diamond? Is it going to be a ruby or an emerald or what? But it's a strange business, this auction world. But I would love to see what it sells for. But what would you do with this? What, it would be too big for a ring, and it would like break your neck if you're going to wear it on a chain. So I mean, what is it going to do?
Actually,
that's the other thing.
Actually, I've seen the picture in its setting, and I think what makes it improbable to wear in public in a ring is that the ring, the setting is beautiful. It just encases the diamond. But when you have a diamond that's as wide as your thumb, and you put it on one of your fingers, all of a sudden it becomes, I'm not, this is going to sound, it becomes a little grotesque because it's so big and out of scale with what people normally see.
Well, I think garish would be a perfect word for something like that, because if you have a piece of jewelry or a diamond or a gem that's that large, it seems to be something that, rather than wear it, it would be displayed somehow in a different format. But you know, I just think of it when you go to the Smithsonian and you go in, or in New York you go to the Museum of Natural History and go into the gem department. They have some enormous stones, and they're just on velvet, or they're just in a case to look at. They're not meant to be worn. They're just meant to be displayed as examples. And I have a feeling that, you know, anybody who buys this, first of all, would be stupid to wear it or out, because I mean, you talk about grab and run. It's just too big to wear, so I think it's just going to have to be displayed somehow. But there again, it goes to my question: why shouldn't the public be able to see it, just like in a museum? Yeah. So they're going to do all this hype, sell this diamond, and let's say that it sells for $30 million, and then it goes away because nobody's ever going to see it again.
not until somebody else resells it again.
Right. Or it ends up being stolen and becomes another news story.
Now, there's an interesting auction event, which actually is more of a celebration of someone and the work they do, taking place at Sotheby's in Hong Kong and online April 6th through the 19th. And that is featuring watches by the most famous watch designer of all time, Gerald Gentner. And it's, you know, I'm looking at the story here, and when you look at some of the watches that this person has designed, they are truly spectacular. And and who knows what they're going to go for, but there's just a whole bunch of these watches that they're going to auction off.
Well, interesting that it's being sold in Hong Kong. That's I haven't read the whole article as to why that is, but other than the fact that the Asian market is like really hot now, so that's I guess that's a possibility. But the auction itself is there again. The fact that it's online in it as a and also in addition live. Makes it of worldwide interest, because even people who aren't going to be able to bid a lot on these items are familiar with the maker of the watches, and they're going to want to just watch. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a voyeur, because most of the stuff that we're talking about today, I can only just be a voyeur. I wouldn't even venture to register, because I mean, it's one of those things that where like, did you scratch your nose or did you bid? So just to kind of watch in the background will be a very interesting thing. So, and I'm sure there are going to be some more records broken with this sale, because watches are very, very popular, especially when the marketing that they do is so thorough. I think it's going to be a very interesting sale, and I think that there are going to be a lot of record. I think there could be there again records broken, because this is not something that comes up every day. You know, you have a Petit Philippe occasionally, but not to have an entire sale. Right. So I think this is a really going to be another good sale, interesting to follow.
Well, and we'll go back just for in our closing couple of minutes here. We were speaking a couple of weeks ago about an auction that was going to feature a Pokemon card, and they thought that they placed the value at $300,000+. Well, the Pokemon card sold for $420,000. A Pokemon card from 1999.
When we talked about this, I'm sorry. I always have to make my Pokemon jokes, because it's like the B word, Beanie Babies. But I don't get it. Why did Pokemon cards take off and Beanie Babies didn't? I mean, to me, it's the same sort of thing.
Well,
but
the thing on this,
believe that it sold for so much.
Well, here's why it did, because the picture on the card was designed by an artist by the name of Mitsuhiro Arida, and he is a very, 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 I guess, celebrated artist. And because he was the artist on it, and this is the card was in great shape. That's the provenance that gave it that price.
Yeah, I still don't get it. I know. I just don't understand the whole Pokemon phenomenon. I just remember when it happened, there was all this hype, and it just kept building and building and building. And then for some reason, it just kind of like shut down for a while, and then it started coming back. And now it's the highest, the market for them is, I guess it's almost like...
Well, yeah, last year one sold for $490,000.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And of I just don't get it. I honestly don't understand the reason. But, hey, you know what? I don't have to understand. I'll be honest. If I had a card that was going to sell for that much, I'd sell it too. But I just don't understand the mindset that made these so popular. I just don't understand the phenomenon. It's something that I just don't get.
All I can say is God bless capitalism. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Greg. Say hello to Tim for us, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay. Have a great week.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Greg Schramm, half the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, joining us this morning with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web.